stand with me and turn to 1 John 4, 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be before you today, and I love the fact that I got to speak about love, the amazing love. Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Okay, there we go. I'm like, I'm speaking loud, but I don't know if I'm speaking loud enough. An amazing season. I think because of this sermon, I actually reached into Advent and the true meaning of Advent. I had never really dug deep, drilled into God's Word and the meaning of Advent, and the four topics: hope, peace, joy, and love. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Bobby that let me come up here and speak to you today, because it made me dig deeper into God's Word, to do the honorable thing, to speak about our Savior and of how hope came to us and how love came to us. And I couldn't help but to think I needed to have a small explanation of the world's definition, or even the dictionary's definition of love, to contrast real love. Because we cannot define, as a human, we cannot define love. We can't understand love. We poke at it. We believe that we felt it, but we don't know love until love entered us. We couldn't understand love, or a perfect, unconditional love like God gives, until we experience that. Love is a complex, deep affection, a connection encompassing emotions, actions, and states, from passionate romance, lust, to familial bonds, friendship, and profound care for a case or humanity involving vulnerability, commitment, respect, prioritizing another's well-being, often expressed through kindness, support, and shared time. As you see in the explanation from man's understanding of love, there's a lot of actions that come from a reaction from the recipient. However, that's not God's love. God's love in the Old Testament, expressed by hesed love, has a meaning, or a definition, usement, of 248 times. I looked that up because I thought love just seemed to be everywhere in the Bible to me. In the New Testament, it's, depending on the variation of translation, anywhere from 100 to 561 times, 561 being the New Living Translation, which I do not use. But again, that's man trying to translate the perfect agape love that God shared with us through the precious Lamb of Christ, who was given to us in a babe. As we come up to the celebration day, the day that we celebrate that perfect birth, the one human that would ever walk this earth who would never sin. So let's go to God's definition. Agape love, God's love, unconditional, sacrificial, a selfless love, exemplified God's love for humanity. In John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And the command to love one another, as we go to 1 John 4:7-8. Phileo, friendship love, a deep affection and loyalty between friends, like the bond between David and Jonathan or Jesus and his disciples, as we read in Proverbs 17:17. These loves are the most applicable loves that I found in my life as I became a Christian. Before that, the family love, storge, was the only love that I really experienced in life. This amazing, natural, familial affection, like the love between parents and children, Romans 12:10, referring to the brotherly affection within the church family. This is what I received when I received Jesus Christ, was the love from all of you. And the opportunity to show that love to you, and that opportunity for me to show it to people who don't love me and who don't agree with me, which can be very difficult. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, but I experienced it on the way here this morning. And my wife said, "Let me pray for you." Driving is probably the biggest, toughest thing that I experience with love. I find it all the time, and I'm like, "Lord, I repent again. This is a moment-by-moment need." So I'm so glad that that hand of God reaches in, even when I'm bad. And then Eros love, romantic love, mostly affiliated with the Song of Solomon in the Old Testament, because man had gotten involved in this amazing romantic love and had made it something that was not God's intent at all. And that love was not shared that much in the New Testament because of that lustful, erotic use that mankind has made, a beautiful love that was meant to be between a beautiful wife and me and those who are married, something to experience that amazing bond that God brings a man and a woman together for that one reason, to experience that love. And I think that Eros is probably the closest love to agape love that we can share with another human being, even though these other loves are part of God's plan. This Song of Solomon and Ephesians 5:25, the one application point that I found where we get to see the Eros love shared. So Lord, I'm still thankful for this day, and I pray over this message, Lord, that would be an encouraging word to the believers in this congregation, Lord. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that day when you sent him into the world, into, as they spoke about earlier, a dark, meaningless place, hateful, greedy, prideful, arrogant, and unloving place, where your creation struggles to find your purpose and your will. We need your will. And you showed us this agape love because we needed to see the perfect example. Lord, you are the author of love, and you shared that love unconditionally with mankind through your Son, His perfect work on the cross, a propitiation for our sins. And Lord, we try, and we will continue to try to love like you love does. We can't send love to you, Lord, but you sent it to us as the perfect example. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 John 4, 9 through 10. And in this, how God showed his love among us, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The big idea is, Christmas came down in a manger for us. God's love entered the world humbly. Jesus, born in a manger, and that's the most humility I think I've ever seen. I'm not a humble man. And as I grow in Christianity and grow closer to God, I realize how decrepit I still am. It's a daily thing. It's a moment-by-moment basis of asking God's forgiveness, and he's just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So the scripture, Luke 2:7, explains this humility. She laid him in a manger, a very humble arrival. In Philippians 2:6, we see more humility. He humbled himself. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Flesh. The first place God laid flesh was on this earth through Adam and Eve. And we failed God in the Garden of Eden. And God still made a means for us to not die in our sins by placing a guard over the Garden of Eden that we might not go back there. So God didn't arrive in a place, in a palace, but he arrived in a stable. Love is most powerful when it comes low. Speaking of low, I can't ever share love without the first true meaning of love to me in my life on a mission trip when I was broken, a drug addict, lost, had only experienced, like I said, the family love that I'd gotten from my family, and quite frankly, my family had up to here with Tim, their brother, their son. And the Lord moved me, as he often does, away from that place, Casper, Wyoming, and brought me here to Ruidoso, New Mexico, where I started to go to church. I started to hear about Christ, but I had not received him. I came here broken and beat up by the world. And when I went on that mission trip, someone shared love with me. They shared the true meaning of love through the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and explaining to me that my sin separated me from God and that I could never have hope, peace, joy, or love without repentance. But faith had to be involved in that. And faith was given to me by God. And on that beautiful day, 11 years ago, I experienced real peace. Not peace on earth, peace with God. Scriptures that help to support God's love and where it shines when where hope feels lost. Have any of you ever felt lost? Maybe you're feeling lost at Christmas time. My mother felt lost Her first one was her mother, who passed away Christmas Eve, 1987. And a year later, lost her father a week after Christmas. So Christmas, for my mother, is a burden in her heart. And now that she's without her husband, the one that God bonded her with, she feels lost in this world. She doesn't feel like she has a purpose anymore. In Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Many of you have experienced this light, and I don't ever want to take advantage that everyone in here is saved. But if you've experienced Jesus, you are now walking from the darkness into a light that will lead you for the rest of your life, as the wise men searched the star and followed the star to Jesus to worship him. Luke 2, 8 through 10, shepherds in the night, as I just brought up. These shepherds came to give glory to the humble servant of God who came to the earth. In John 1, 5, the light shines in the darkness. When we're experiencing this hopelessness that we feel while in this world, and it will come to us in many different forms, bleak forms, either our own sinful nature that rears its head against the glory of God, or of not loving one another, as I did on the way here on Gavilan Canyon. Christmas lights are brightest at night, and so is God's love. You know, I was talking to my mother last night, and as, like I said, she's hopeless in this time of Christmas, and my mother showed me that love, or how she wanted to show love to her children, through presents. Our Christmas tree, my dad would spend hours putting all the lights delicately in and out of every branch. The many years that we had a fresh, brand new, live tree with water in the base that finally rusted out the base. And I remember those young mornings that were me and my two sisters would go and help my dad put the ornaments on the tree. And I remember those fondly because, like I said, that was the only love I'd ever experienced in my life. And I was sharing with my mother our beautiful little village as we drive through Midtown, the different stores who celebrate Christmas with lights, decorating their buildings and the storefront windows with lights. And many of them don't know our Christ. They don't know the true light that came into this world. And I shot some video, which was probably not a very wise thing, while I was driving down the road. Still not wise. But God's love is brighter than that.
Amen.
He's the brightest light. And he still shines bright in our lives today. The third point I wanted to bring up was love came down as a gift. As I spoke about the gifts under the tree, you could not believe. There was three of us children, and plus my mother and my father, and there would be so many gifts under that tree because that was my mother's explanation to us kids of the love that she never had when she was a kid. They didn't have a lot of money when she was a kid, and she wanted to give to us the things that she didn't have when she was a child, which I think is important for a parent to do for their children, and many of us are working for that, to leave a legacy for our kids. My mother never really understood it, and she sent me to Catholic school, to catechism. She thought that was her way of sharing Jesus with me. What she didn't understand was I saw the perfect gift of love that came from her and my dad. My dad, he adopted me. I was a stepchild to my dad. He had one daughter, my younger sister, who was his own, but he loved us unconditionally, not like God did, but lovingly, in a way that I only knew. But God, He gave. He gave true. There's no way that my stepdad, my dad, would have ever gave any one of us kids for a lowly man or woman like I was. There's no way. That's how we really know love, because God did. God gave of Himself. God gave His Son. And He gave Him unconditionally, without any reciprocating love from me or from mankind. And not because we earned it, but because He loved us. 1 John 4:10, not that we love God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave. And Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. A gift is only a gift if it's freely given and humbly received. So this perfect gift that was never under a tree, this perfect gift that arrived in a humble manger, this perfect gift that was mocked, beaten, spit on, cussed at, that love died on a cross. And God's love raised Him up from the grave 3 days later. Now, if that isn't hope to anyone who hears the great proclaimed word of the gospel, that each one of us have the opportunity to share with humanity on a daily basis, then I don't know what love is, and I do. Christmas reminds us that salvation cannot be bought. This gift can only be received. This amazing gift to us from God, His declaration, His proclamation to us, that His covenant to us, that He will always be with us, and the promise that we will be raised up when His Son comes back. Love came down to save us at Christmas time. Love came down to us humbly, and love came down in a manger, and this manger points to the cross. Once again, God took care of everything. He didn't leave anything up to us, because we failed Him over and over again. Mankind, His creation, failed Him. From the Garden of Eden to the Exodus, as He brought His people out of slavery, and the first thing they do is create an idol to worship. I didn't have any words when I read that. And I remember shamelessly saying, oh, I can't believe God's people would do that to Him after He had delivered them from the clutches of slavery and the evil that they were living in, multitudes of idols being worshipped, and just the world like we live in today. God shyly, softly reminded me of myself. And He says, good thing you've never failed. Good thing you don't have any idols in your life. But we do. This amazing unconditional love that touches us this special time of year, touches us throughout our lives as we realize what sin does to the Father and why He said, I don't want to be around sin. I can't be. I'm holy. I'm just. I'm perfect, but I'll send my Son to cover you in your sinful nature. Sorry, I knew I was going to get this way. The wood of the manger leads to the wood of the cross. It's amazing. The tree of life is what's used to make these wooden products that our Savior came into the world in and left this place on. Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die so that we could live. Are we living? Are we living as He commanded us to live, loving one another? Avalon Canyon comes to mind. I can't stop driving here. We will live for eternity. Those in Christ, we've already died. We've already been. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I now live, I live in the body of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Amen. This terrible man that lived before the day of salvation, he's gone. Although he may rear his head into this new life, he's gone. And the guarantee of heaven is mine because of Jesus. This humble baby born in a manger. This loving, perfect sacrifice crucified on a cross. As we go into this final week of the Advent season, may we remember that there is such an opportunity for us to give this love to someone. And maybe God's bringing someone to your mind right now, a neighbor, someone you haven't forgiven, someone that you've got to bind against, and it's holding back God's love that you could be sharing with someone this season. Maybe there's, I can't tell you how many times I've drove by the man flying a sign at Walmart and said, man, that guy needs to get a job. God's speaking to me. My stepson lost his dad last week. A drug addict. A meth addict. For many years he was trapped by that addiction. And when you said addiction, whew, the Lord was speaking to me. And we witnessed to his girlfriend, who's still living in a semi-truck trailer without any heat, amongst the refuse of items all over that have been drugged to that property. And my stepson is down there to try and find something to remember his dad by. Couldn't find anything but a couple of pictures. And I hated that for my son, Chris. That all he could find was something that his dad had made. And the Lord spoke to me of how that could be me still. I could still be that broken, tattered, stuck person in mud, in the muck of this world, and all that it represents for many people who will never know the precious love of Jesus. The fifth point I have for you guys today is love came down so love could live through us. Christmas should change how we treat others. I wouldn't have shared with that lady. In fact, every bit of my flesh said, don't go. Don't go down there. It's just going to be a reminder of your past. That's what it is. It's past. It's past. Praise and glory to God. This love that God gives to us was never meant to be held inside. 1 John 4:11 says, if God so loved us, that we should love one another. There is someone God is going to put in your path this week. I know. Because he does it every day. We walk by opportunities every day. Luke 2:14, peace on earth. Peace doesn't come from the earth. Peace comes from God. Peace with God is peace. Colossians 3:14, and above all these, put on love. So as we go about our weeks, as we, I'm preparing to travel, as we go about our weeks, as we continue the last minute shopping, is that just a man thing? A husband and a wife that say, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, I've already received all I need. Is it weird that I don't feel I need something at Christmas time, that I feel filled with all ever need because of Jesus? So let's ask ourselves these questions this Christmas time. Who needs love from me this Christmas? Where can I bring light into someone's darkness? How about, have I received the gift? Or just admired it? So as we conclude my message, the love that came down from heaven at Christmas time, the love took on flesh. The love paid the price. And love invites us home. Lord God, I'm so thankful for your love. I'm so thankful that I didn't have to live a life with man's explanation of love, that I didn't have to live a life separated from you for eternity, that I didn't have to live a life saturated with sin. I didn't have to live a life broken and separated from heaven. Lord, you shared heaven with us. He came down humble. He came down with a purpose. He came down as his will to honor you in obedience. Jesus struggled and was tempted in every way by sin and never failed humanity. He never failed you. And Lord, maybe there's someone here who has been thinking about or only admiring the precious gift given by heaven, this amazing agape love. Lord, I pray that you've opened their hearts today and they're considering what it means to be forgiven, what it means to walk with you. And they'll make that decision to follow you today. And for those of us who already know you, Lord, I pray that you will give us a special opportunity this Christmas season to share the hope that lives in us, the peace that's been given to us. Lord, the joy that we have in our hearts and the love that came for us, Lord. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take of communion with us. And so if you will come and receive one of these cups, it has the bread with it, underneath it, and return to your seat. We will pray over them together and take them together. So please come. That Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father for it. He said, "This is my body. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. In like manner, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant given for you in my blood for the remission of sins. Take and drink of it. And when you do, do this in remembrance of me and remember my death until I come." Let us partake of the cup together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your love that came down at Christmas. Thank you for sending your one and only Son for us. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to come, the eternal Son of God, the Word of God, made flesh, the incarnation. What a wonder you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you manifest and testify of Jesus and bring glory to the Son. We praise you, and we thank you for the miraculous gift that you gave in Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to come, be born, humble yourself, be born in the likeness of man. We thank you so much for the gift of your life, for the gift of your body upon that cross, for the shedding of your blood. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Help us to worship you right now in this closing song, to worship you in spirit and in truth as we close and magnify. Help us to magnify and glorify the name of Jesus. We praise you. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.